misses the second free throw. Rebound West Virginia. Miles throws it into the second row, and his shots are fired by the Mountaineers. The Jayhawks fire a shot over the bow at the rest of the Big 12. KU may be back. Rock, chalk it up. The Jayhawks win 71-66 here in Morgantown.
Oh, it's one of the toughest wins we've ever had since we've been here. I mean, that's, you know, we didn't play well early. We were on our heels. Little things matter. How about Devontae's three at halftime to cut it to, what, 12? And, you know, that doesn't seem near as bad as 15. And then the second half, I thought we played pretty well offensively and defensively. We got some great looks in the second half and didn't make them early. And, you know, we're going to have to make some shots in order to be good offensively. And I think at one time we were 5-19 or 5-20 from three. So we obviously go three of our next four, or our last three we made. And that was the difference. Devontae and Svi and everybody in there battling, competing. I thought we did some really good things. You can't run offense against them, but we made enough plays, and certainly our defense was tremendous.
It's a Thursday. It's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They have farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Blewett, or call them at 738-5701. Brian, I am guessing everybody was feeling pretty good on the plane ride home from Morgantown after that big come-from-behind victory.
They really were. And, you know, I tell this story sometimes, not to everybody, but you know, to some of my close friends about what was your first year like at Kansas. And I'll tell them, you know, it was a blast. I loved everything. But last year when we went on the road, there was almost this air of expectancy. And I know the guys always enjoy it in the locker room, but by the time we got to them on the bus or plane, they acted like they'd been there before. And coming from a place like Texas Tech, where obviously they're having a great year now, last night not included, but you know, we didn't win on the road that often. And so when you won on the road, that plane flight home was a big deal, man. I mean, it was one big party, right, in terms of just slapping high fives and people, you know, going nuts and all that. At Kansas last year, my first taste of traveling with the team was the boys. When we won at Rupp Arena in Kentucky, and I got on the staff bus afterwards, I'm giving fist bumps and high fives, and everybody's kind of like, what's up with this guy? You know, we usually win, right? And so I was almost kind of disappointed that winning on the road wasn't as big of a deal because they've been there before, right? As we just found out, KU's win on Monday was their seventh consecutive top 10 true road game win, which is unreal to think about over the last 6 years. Seven straight games on the true road setting against the top 10 team, and they've won them. But here's the difference, Wade. This Kansas team, they had been labeled by the rest of the league as vulnerable, blood in the water. We can smell it. We're coming for you, Kansas. This is the year the streak ends. This Kansas team was down 16 in the first half, and that blood had never been thicker in the water than it was in that moment. And yet they came back, and they won it. And they sent a message, as you heard the play-by-play call, to the rest of the league. You know what? We're not going away quietly into the night. This is still our conference. The conference title still goes through Lawrence, Kansas. And because of that, way, that's a really long way to say, yes, it was a very fun plane flight home. This time, fist bumps and high fives abound. This time there was some dancing, hugging, all that. And you know what? We're just a third of the way into the league race. So a long way to go, but hopefully a lot more jubilation as we get a chance to celebrate, you know, what I think will be one heck of a ride. And if it proves to end in KU's 14th straight Big 12 Conference title, this may be one of Bill Self's very best coaching jobs based on the parity in this league, based on the circumstances his team's been playing through in terms of depth. And now, because of all of that, each win is so much sweeter, and to me, that's super satisfying.
I agree with you, and you know, to me, what made this game so great, and I can tell, and I knew it was coming in the post-game interviews, is that Bill Self loves these type of wins. It wasn't pretty, had to grind it out. He has questioned this team's toughness like he does with most of his teams at some point during a season. He challenges them. And on Monday morning when we were breaking down the game, what has to happen for KU to win in Morgantown? We said, well, KU's going to have to make a lot of threes. They can't get in foul trouble. Azubuike cannot be on the bench. They can't turn the ball over.
And those were the three biggest things we mentioned. And Brian, they did not hit a lot of threes. They did a few big ones late. They didn't shoot the ball well in the first half. They got down by 16. Azubuike gets a cheap technical. Then he gets his second foul. He goes to the bench. West Virginia has all kinds of size, but Kansas has turned the ball over left and right early in the game. And despite all of that, KU somehow finds a way to win. And I guess I can only point to two things and see if you agree, and you might add something into this. One, it was their defense, which most people would not have expected breaking down the game Monday morning, that that would have been a difference in the game, KU's defense winning. And then, of course, the clutch shooting towards the end. Svi, a couple threes. Graham, of course, timely plays. None bigger than that steal and one to get Carter with his fourth foul. I thought that was the turning point in the game. But this is not how I think a lot of people thought KU was going to win if they were going to win in Morgantown. And there are a lot of people that were saying that KU's not, this team can't win in Morgantown. If these previous KU teams can't do it, this team can't. And I joked that this is the team that's going to defy logic. And they very well may go into West Virginia and win. I didn't predict they would, but I said it's certainly possible. And I'll stick to my guns. 3 weeks ago, I said this might be the team that defies logic and be that Kansas team that makes a run to the Final Four when you least expect it.
I love all that. And first off, that's why the fine people of Glenn Elder and Beloit tune into Wade Gerster every weekday morning for those game day keys that go over, but we still win, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, your point's a good one, man, because this wasn't how they had been winning games. In fact, you know, Bill Self always uses the adage, defense and rebounding, you can pack that and take it on the road. Defense and rebounding will travel. That's the phrase. It will travel, meaning, you know, shots aren't going to always fall, and you can't show up in an opponent arena expecting to hit a lot of threes like you talked about, but you can always bring the same amount of defensive intensity and rebounding. Defense and rebounding will travel. Well, I said that to him on Tuesday when we taped his TV show, saying, I know you referenced this to the guys before the game. And then in a very self-deprecating way, he said, Brian, we haven't even unpacked defense and rebounding at home. How did you think we were going to get it in a suitcase to go to Morgantown?
Yeah.
Point being, they hadn't been playing defense like he wants them to, like you said. They haven't been rebounding the ball to the degree that they're capable of, like you said. And so you would have come up with some different keys, and because you had to go off what we'd seen from this Kansas team. I don't know that they can follow that up, but man, oh man, is that the type of performance that you show these guys what they're capable of if they bring it to the nth degree in terms of intensity and effort and all of that in those two phases, defense and rebounding. And you beat West Virginia with the taste of their own medicine. Not in the sense that they were pressing West Virginia, but they were turning them over with great defensive play. And to me, that is something that you get everybody bought in on, because how much fun was Monday night? We just accomplished our biggest win of the year, and we did it by doing something that was pretty atypical based on what we've seen over the first half of the season from these guys. So Self is quick to point out, one win a season does not make, and one victory an identity does not establish. But if there was ever a win that could go a long ways in establishing this team's identity, which is still to be determined, I think it's that one. Yeah. And you hope that it's that one. And as I said in the post game, my grandpa used to say, wins like that put hair on your chest. Well, I think that is the type of victory that gets guys a lot more confident in each other and themselves, a lot more bought in on everything Coach Self's been preaching since Italy on defense and toughness and rebounding, and hopefully it spills over. You can't dial it up to that degree every single night, obviously, but hopefully they'll be bought in 9 nights out of 10, and if they do, you got a great shot to hang another banner in Allen Fieldhouse.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5700. I want to take a moment and talk about Devontae Graham. You know, early in the year, he wasn't shooting the ball super well. He had a couple of big-time games and got hot. And there's a lot of talk about how he doesn't drive the ball. He's not Frank Mason. Of course he's not Frank Mason. Frank Mason is a whole different person than human being. And Frank Mason was labeled a bulldog. And he kind of has the facial features, no offense to Frank, of a gritty guy that, you know, grits his teeth and he doesn't smile and he's a tough hombre. And he just finds a way to get to the bucket and get fouled and make free throws, and he willed his team to victory. Devontae Graham doesn't look like a bulldog. He looks like he's 12 years old. But Devontae Graham, to me, is similar to Frank Mason from this standpoint, is that he has stepped up from a leadership void that was left when Mason left, and he had to. There's pressure on him. But in big games, you go to the TCU game, he drove it. He didn't settle for three, and he hit the deck numerous times, and he was banged up. And then in this game, he doesn't get flustered. He didn't force shots. He struggled in the first half against West Virginia. And the second half, he makes a big-time steal. He gets an and-one, gets Carter with his fourth foul. His defense was good. He played all 40 minutes. I thought he would probably wear down eventually. We should probably talk a little bit more about Devontae Graham being a bulldog. He just doesn't look like one.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's clearly taken over that persona. And he's a guy that, you know, still has that magnetic, charismatic personality and smile. He's one of the greatest ambassadors that I've ever covered in any school I've been at, that understands his platform, understands, you know, his chance to be a positive influence on kids and people on campus just by spending some time taking a picture, shaking a hand, being nice. And yet, when you get him on the floor in those, you know, win or go home scenarios, he can turn into an assassin. And he can take on what you just described with Frank Mason's, you know, persona and be more of that guy. He didn't finish at the cup like Frank does. He doesn't quite get the explosive break it down off the bounce like Frank does, but he's getting better and better at it. And clearly he has taken on that leadership role where he's not afraid to get after his teammates and get on guys, be emotional out there. And really you get more verbal leadership from him, vocal leadership than you ever would from Frank. Mm-hmm. Frank would bark a little bit, but Frank wasn't one to stand up in the locker room and you know, give you some big long soliloquy on why the season's going the way it is or anything like that. So to me, you know, in some regards, he might bring something Frank didn't bring. But it's great to see him coming around and getting some credit now, because Frank does cast a pretty large shadow. And they're very different players, and it's not fair to directly compare one to the other, but it's the easy human nature thing to do when the baton is passed from one guy to the next, and you're in the very next season, and you're having the same expectations as you always have at Kansas. It's easy to make that comparison, but it was neat to see a couple of national writers, you know, tweet out the other night that Devontae looked like an All-American, because there have been times this year where he looked like an All-American. He had that week in which he went for 35 points in back-to-back games and really looked like, you know, one of the best five players in the country, or one of the best 15 if you go three All-American teams. But then there have been other times when, you know, he hasn't quite been up to that snuff. And part of that is he's been asked to do so much. I mean, imagine how much more effective he would be if he wasn't playing 39 minutes a game,
yeah.
You know, and had the fresher legs down the stretch. And I think eventually we're going to get there to where maybe we can get down to 37. And that doesn't sound like much, but it is a difference maker. It's why Bill Self, whenever they give the scouting report at the end of a practice, he lets his guys sit down and watch. It's 15 extra minutes off their feet. He monitors and charts all this stuff because he's very aware of the typical point in the season when guys start to get dead legs. And you hope for this Kansas team it doesn't come sooner than with other teams because of how much guys like Devontae, Svi, and LeGerald have been forced to play. Hopefully they'll start to get a little bit of a reprieve. But I say all of that to say that Devontae has probably been as much or more asked of him this year than there was Frank, and that might sound crazy because Frank posed such huge numbers and always had the ball in his hands and all that, but Frank also had Josh Jackson sometimes too that could step up and carry some weight. And with Devontae, while clearly you had Svi and he's got LeGerald and all that, I almost feel like there's more on Devontae's plate, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think there's way more pressure, Wade. Like, matching the streak was important, mm-hmm. and we talked about it every game. But I really sense that now surpassing the streak,
yeah.
and setting it outright, it's almost taken on a larger conversation and a narrative around these guys. And it may not be the case inside the huddle. Bill Self is quick to say, hey, we're not trying to win a 14th straight Big 12 title. This team's trying to win a first straight Big 12 title because every team is different.
Right.
And I get that. But they still hear it, and they still sense it. And when all of a sudden you're being labeled as vulnerable and the league's being labeled as, you know, most competitive ever, I think there is more pressure on this team, and specifically on this team's leader, Devontae Graham, and he's handled it really, really well.
KU's won their five conference games by a combined total of 21 points, and that doesn't happen unless you have really good point guard play, and Devontae has provided that. Let me ask you one more thing about the West Virginia game before we move on to Baylor. Do you feel like West Virginia maybe let KU off the hook a little bit? And what I mean by that is not necessarily that they blew a 16-point lead. You could easily say that and connect the dots. But what I mean by that is Azubuike went to the bench. He got in foul trouble. He had to sit on the bench for a while. Bill went with him sooner than some coaches might have because he knew he needed him on the floor in the second half with four personals. But West Virginia, when they had an advantage in DeSosa inside and Lightfoot, which they held their own, but it seemed like West Virginia didn't go inside as much as they probably should have. And then they settled for a lot of threes, 27 three-point attempts. And then at the end, West Virginia, Javon Carter's kind of had this tendency to do this late in games. He did it in the NCAA tournament against Gonzaga, where go to the rack and get a bucket instead of settling for a three when you're down three. And I don't know how much of it is KU's defense and how much of it is the opposing team and players not executing what they want to do, because we saw it in the K-State-KU game as well. If they drive the ball, they're probably going to be more successful than settling for a fadeaway three at the buzzer. The last two opponents, to me, it seems like West Virginia has kind of played into Kansas's hands at the end of games.
Yeah, that's really astute. And you're right. They are fadeaway contested 24-footers that Carter's jacking up. When Kansas got threes in the second half, they came on the heels of really sharp, quick ball reversals where you had a guy wide open, both feet set, shoulder square, pull the trigger, bang. Javon Carter was chucking them up with a hand in his face, fading away from the basket.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, 27 threes attempted looks bad. And 5 of 27 threes attempted that were actually made looks really bad. And then when you look at the shot that they took, especially in the junctures that they were launched, you think, man, it's easy to see why they lost. I mean, to me, the biggest reason was they started turning it over at a rapid rate and had 11 second-half turnovers. Mm-hmm. But then, even when it was tied up, down one or up one late, those were the shots they settled for. And they weren't horribly off the mark. Some of them were right on line, just a little bit too strong or in and out. But still, you could have gotten so much more. And Kansas has proven to be susceptible in terms of stopping dribble penetration. So I was, frankly, surprised they didn't try to put their head down and drive it more. I know Bob Huggins was bemoaning the fact that they settled for 27 threes. So you're definitely right to point that out. At the same time, credit Kansas. You know, as Bill Self says, we're not going to apologize for how somebody tried to beat us.
Sure.
They defended them really well. And Coach said last night on Hawk Talk, that was the best defensive performance from a fundamental sound standpoint of Sviatoslav Mikhailuk's entire career. There were a couple of threes that Carter hit over him in the first half, but from a technique standpoint, he did everything he could to close him out and be right there with a hand in his face. And Kansas contested all those shots down the stretch so well. And so, you can definitely scratch your head over strategy and execution on the Mountaineer side of things, but give Kansas a ton of credit in the way they defended what West Virginia elected to do, because that was as important as anything.
Last thing before we get to the off-the-wall question. Baylor's the opponent coming up on Saturday. 5 o'clock is tip-off. You can hear that on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. And Baylor has struggled here so far in Big 12 season, but they play a lot of zone. They're a team that typically, there's been times they come into Lawrence and they get blown out. There's times where that's come down to the wire. Quick thoughts on Baylor.
Well, I think that we just need to remind everybody that 3 weeks ago they were in the top 20, and we saw flashes of that on Monday when they beat Oklahoma State by 16, and LeConte goes for 30, and Joe Luwalla-Twill, who didn't play in their opener when they got boat raced by Texas Tech, he was out. He's a huge difference maker. He's a big-time, rim protector and shot alterer, and he can absolutely make this Baylor team capable of winning on just about any given night. So Kansas can't let its guard down. Golly, they worked so hard to get that win on Monday, and thank goodness they've had help since, with Oklahoma losing to Kansas State, Texas Tech losing in Austin. Let's not give it right back the very next game by stubbing our toe at home. And, I don't think they will, but at the same time, you can't take anything for granted or chalk anything up in this league this year. And so hopefully they'll come out with a really focused effort, and there won't be any look-ahead factor to Oklahoma on Tuesday because, man, it's been sweating bullets ever since this 1-1 start. Just to get one game of separation now on the rest of the league, six games in, and I'd love to see them maintain that pace for a little bit. You'd love to play from out in front. Now you got a bigger bullseye than ever on your back, because what was thought to be a vulnerable situation, suddenly, same old, Kansas alone atop the standings. So let's keep it that way with a really inspired, focused effort and build off of what we saw on Monday.
Time for the off-the-wall question. And it's clear, after what Bill Self said after the game, that we know that Bill drinks coffee at 3 a.m. in the morning. That's clear. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So the off-the-wall question for you, and you can give a little background on that if you know more than we do, do you drink coffee at 3 a.m. in the morning?
Man, I encourage your listeners that didn't catch Hawk Talk last night to listen to the replay on KUAthletics.com. You can go to the live audio section and then click on Play Previous Events, because I brought that up, and I said, come on, Coach, coffee? And he's like, yeah, well, it wasn't really coffee, was it? He's like, I just had to say that. And I said, here's the deal. I could see you and Huggins having a ton of fun, and him being a fun guy to have a beer with or whatever it was they were drinking. I'm guessing it was a little bit harder than that.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be the three people, alive or dead, in sports that you would want to have a drink with? And he said Mickey Mantle, in part because he's from Commerce, Oklahoma, self an Oklahoma guy, but also, hey, Mickey liked the party. Larry Bird was his second answer. And then he struggled to come up with a third, and they said, you know, Huggs wouldn't be too far down the list. So I think we can conclude that Huggy Bear, Larry Bird, and Mickey Mantle would be the famous trio. You asked that question sometimes on a first date. You could have dinner with anybody alive or dead. Who would it be?
Right.
I made it to Coach. You could have a beer with anybody in sports, alive or dead. And that's the answer he gave. So it was definitely not coffee. And we joked about that. I'm like, man, Huggins must pour a real strong cup of Folgers at 3 a.m., you know. But they have a good rapport. Coach told me the other day that maybe his best friend in coaching is not a guy who works for him, like a Gillespie or Fitch or a Dooley, something like that. He's Tom Izzo. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how many cups of coffee he's had with Tom Izzo at 3 a.m. I don't see Izzo as that type of guy. Maybe he is. But he said Izzo's the guy that's probably his closest friend of the people that never worked for him.
Huh, that's interesting. It's a great question.
The question was, do I ever drink coffee at 3 in the morning? No.
Yeah.
And usually I don't drink anything else at 3 in the morning. Usually by 3, I'm winding down. But I'll go hard sometimes until 2. But I got to hit a wall at some point.
We all do, don't we, as we get older. That's so true. So is Self going to go back to the suit and tie on Saturday, I would assume?
He is. And somebody asked him on Hot Talk, how about you return the favor for Huggins and have him a suit to wear when they come back here? And he said, now, wait a minute. Let's be clear. What Huggins got me cost $12.50. If I got him a suit, that'd be like $300.
Well, so, I think Bill can afford it.
Yeah. And I pointed that out to him. So, no doubt. But yeah, we look forward to the return trip because it's going to be every bit as tough, no doubt.
No doubt about it. Hey, Brian, great call the other night against West Virginia, and have a good call coming up on Saturday against Baylor. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Thanks, Wade. Have a great weekend, bud. Take care.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, join us every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket. Brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.